welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm solo today. I got my buddy Kurt, actually, my wrestling coach. Not my wrestling, me and him coach a team for little kids, a middle school wrestling team. He's coming in. We have a great show. We got Sarah Morris, who is in the semifinals on The Ultimate Fighter, is on the show. We have Sarah Kaufman. It's two Sarahs. They're both Canadian too, which is kind of cool. And then we have Michael the Menace Johnson on the show, who's a badass fighter coming off the biggest victory of his life, which he destroyed Joe Lauzon, which is an amazing task in itself. If he never does anything else again in his entire career, destroying Joe Lauzon is quite an accomplishment. And he's got a fight coming up at UFC 168 against Gilson Tebow, so we'll talk about that. And man, I watched the primetime special, and man, those primetime specials, like, I could be dying of, like, it could be like when I'm going to die of cancer, and I'll watch. They make everything sound so exciting. I could be like, Adam, now. It's amazing, those primetime specials, they get you hooked. And you know what? Before I watched that, but this is, no matter who, you know, they always make it. Before I watched it, I was like, you know what? I got Hendricks on this fight. I got Hendricks. I think he's going to pull off the upset. He's got power in both hands. And the thing about Hendricks is that he's a really good guy, a simple guy. He lives I'm not simple as in like he's dumb, right? I'm saying he lives a very pure life. Like when he came on the show and I asked him about TRT, he didn't know what TRT was. I had to tell a guy in the UFC what TRT is. And he just seems like a very religious guy, nice guy, got three kids and one of those dudes that is just like a country boy. I mean, he was a four-time state champ in high school. He was a four-time All-American college. He won the national title his sophomore, his junior year, his senior year. He lost in the finals. He was upset, and you know, so you got to think he's got better wrestling than GSP. GSP probably, you could argue, has better MMA wrestling, but Hendricks has better wrestling. Well, you'd be okay. Well, then people are going to go, oh, well, Koscheck had better wrestling. Yeah, but I don't think, like, as talented as Josh Koscheck is, and he's superbly talented, there's a mental aspect that Koscheck just can't seem to get over in those. He seems to sometimes play into other people's game plans. He likes playing the villain. He sort of gets into these mind games that he doesn't necessarily win all the time. And I don't think that Hendricks is going to play into that mind game. I don't think Hendricks is going to fall into any kind of tricks. He's not going to play the heel. He's not worried about selling tickets. He's worried about fighting. And he's got power, crazy power. But he's also, what I like about Hendricks is he comes on my show. And I go, what's your, and almost 99% of the fighters that come on my show, I go, so what's your plan against so-and-so? And they go, I'm not telling you my game plan. Or they go, dude, well, I'm going to just have a great training camp. Or I'm going to train for him just like I do everyone else. I go, what's your plan, Hendricks? Well, every time he throws that jab, I'm going to throw my overhand left. And then I'm going to come in and double it. He told me exactly what he was planning on doing, which I actually talked to Frank Trigg about that. I go, I've never had a guy tell me exactly. He goes, dude, that's Oklahoma State for you. They'll tell you exactly what they're going to do. And they're going to tell you how they're going to beat you, and then they're going to beat you. And Frank Trigg used to actually coach Johnny Hendricks, who he thought, he told me, was going to be the next John Smith, which, if you don't know wrestling, John Smith is arguably the best wrestler of all time. Dan Gable, John Smith, Cale Sanderson, they're all in that debate. So I'm looking forward to this fight. I still think Hendricks is going to win, but it's hard to bet. It's easier for me to bet, not bet, but to predict that Anderson Silva was going to lose versus GSP. Because I feel like Anderson Silva, you know, sometimes puts his hands down and gets a little sloppy and does this thing. GSP is almost like the perfect fighter. I mean, the guy, he even said, he goes, I'm the best fighter in the world at fighting and not finishing fights as well. I mean, the guy actually dropped out of high school because he couldn't finish his homework. But I don't care. Honestly, I'm not one of those guys. I do make GSP can't finish jokes. I make jokes that there's a sex move called the GSP when you hump a chick for 25 minutes but can't finish. But I do make jokes like that, but I don't really care. He did say he wanted to fight Askren, which would be the fight to save boxing. That fight would be, but Askren, I think, would be a challenge for him. But you know, the thing about him saying he would fight Askren, which is interesting, is that he has a fight coming up against Hendricks. He might have to fight Askren if he loses to Hendricks. So, Yeah, there's a lot of great cards on 167. There's the Koscheck Woodley fight. You know, it's one of those things where ever since I saw Koscheck have a jet on TV, he's never been the same. So if you have a jet, it may have to, like, don't announce you have a jet. But his last couple fights, he lost to Hendricks, and then he got beat by Robbie Lawler, which I didn't see that coming at all. I actually read a very interesting article about Lawler in the New Fighters Only magazine about how for 5 years, Lawler didn't spar. He would show up, and he just didn't believe in sparring anymore at Pat Mills' camp. He would just come up and not spar because he didn't want to spar anymore, ever. And he sort of finally is mastering his counterattack. So anyway, back to the Woodley Koscheck. Tough fight to call. I'm going to say Tyron Woodley. I think Koscheck is on his way down. I think Woodley has too much power. Obviously, Koscheck's a better wrestler. I think leaving American Top Team, or leaving AKA, was the worst thing that Koscheck could have done. You look at the guys over at AKA, the guys that we had on the show, the guys like Maynard, the guys like Josh Thompson. You obviously have the Cain Velasquez, you have the Cormier, and then you have the Khabib. I'm not even going to attempt to announce his last name, but you have guys like that. Why would you leave that camp? I know that Koscheck sometimes he said on Twitter, those guys are my sparring buddies or my punching bags. There was some kind of beef there. I don't know exactly what happened. Koscheck opened up his own gym, I think, in Fresno. But he has not been the same fighter since leaving AKA. I will just say it. I said it. You heard it from me. So I think Woodley's got that fight. Rory McDonald, Lawler, another great fight. I think Rory's going to win. I like Robbie Lawler. I think he's a great fighter. He's awesome. He's now with American Top Team, which coming from the Matt Hughes system, going over there was a great thing. He doesn't have to be the coach, he said, over there. But at the same time, Rory McDonald is freaking a phenom. I mean, wait till he goes through puberty. But the guy is seriously just on another level. And I think Rory's got that. And then, of course, there's the Chael versus Rashad fight. And that's another fight it's hard to call. What Rashad shows up? The Rashad that dominated Phil Davis, or the one that lost Lil Nog? And by the way, Chael Sonnen, if you're listening to the podcast, which I know you're not, but if you are, I got to tell a funny story about Chael. So I wrote a movie. I'm trying to make this movie about a wrestling team. I've been coaching wrestling. I wrote this funny script. Very funny movie. And of course, I want to say it's funny, but it is funny. It's hilarious. I'm trying to get it made. So I'm trying to get fighters attached. Like Kenny Florian said he'd be attached, and this guy said he'd be attached. So I email Chael my script. I go, I wrote the script. Here it is. I know Chael. Within 35 seconds of emailing him the script, I get it back. Dude, this is hilarious. Let's do it. But there's no way. So then I have him on my show a year later, right? I go, hey, Chael, by the way, did you ever read that movie? Absolutely not. I don't know. Chael's one of those dudes. He's just one of those guys. But I think going to Reign was the best thing for Chael. It was the best thing that happened to him. Training with Munoz and Ellenberger and those guys. And those guys, like we had Kelvin Gastelum on the show, says that Chael kicks the crap out of him. Everyone that I know that has trained with Chael, even before when he fought Silva the second time, people were picking Chael over John Jones. That's how good he is in training. Sometimes he falls apart a little bit mentally. He breaks. It's funny because he actually, when I was next to him at the MMA Awards, he was calling out Vitor Belfort. He kept saying, Vitor. And I said to him, I go, Vitor Belfort hits like a, are you crazy? He goes, dude, Vitor Belfort folds after the first round. He's only been after the first round a couple times. Every fight he's won in the first round. If you get past the first round, you can beat him. And it's funny because he actually called him out recently. He said he wants to punch Vitor in the face. Vitor said he's going to fight until he's in his 40s. I think he means 40 times over TRT. Vitor Belfort, they should just give him the TRT Brazilian Championship. They should actually make a separate TRT league because it seems like he's not going to fight outside of TRT. But anyway, so back to my wrestling team. I've been coaching for 8 years, if you know that. I started this program over at Paul Revere Middle School. It's been a lot of fun. I love doing it. It gets easier every year. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes when you have, you know, kids that are like, I'll be like, hey, man, do 25 push-ups. And the kid will be like, yeah, like the Asian guy in porn, which is my act. He's do my act back to me. And it's funny. It's actually a lot of fun coaching. it's hard sometimes because it's hard when you have a really good kid with a bad attitude because the other kids sort of follow him. But this year, I need, you know, I'm always on the road. I needed a coach. I needed an assistant coach. So I put on Twitter, hey, I need a coach. If anybody can help me coach wrestling. Now, this guy Kurt contacted me recently. He said, hey, man, I make videos for fighters and for stuff, and I want you to help me. He goes, send me your videos. I'll edit them for you for nothing. Just it'll help me get my brand out. Okay, sure, I'm trying. His brand's called Intravid. Intravid.com. He goes, we work with some fighters. I got CB Dalloway. I got this fighter. Okay, cool. So then I get a text. We're going back and forth, and I'm sort of like, you know, I'm all over the place. And Kurt's like, hey, man, I'm a bouncer in Santa Monica, and I have fighting experience. Can I come help coach these kids? So I said, sure. So Kurt shows up, and he's a good-looking guy. He's a big dude. He's a young guy. And we've been coaching, and he's actually a really good coach. He's a little bit from the old school where he thinks maybe I'm a little too easier on the kids than maybe I should be, you know, and I'm always cracking jokes. But here he is on the podcast. Kurt, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Adam.
Thanks for being on. Yeah. So you were amateur fighter?
Yeah, I fought a couple fights amateur. You know, it was never supposed to be a career for me, but you know, I love fighting. I definitely wanted to be in this industry. So
what league did you?
I fought in Ultimate Reno Combat. I fought in a couple like smaller shows, just amateur in San Jose, in Northern California.
So that's where you're from?
Yeah, I was originally from Massachusetts, but I grew up in Northern California.
Did you train with like Team Alpha Male or any of those? Who did you train with?
I trained at a school called Phase 3 Martial Arts. It's a school in Santa Rosa run by Ben Brown. It's a small school, but it's what I went to after high school just to kind of...
And you were a wrestler in high school? You wrestled in college at all? Or?
I wrestled in high school. I didn't wrestle in college. I didn't have a team where I went.
Right. Now, you're actually, I mean, you always get concerned because you don't want to bring some crazy person on to help, but, you know, you never know, who, you know, and I had to, you know, we had to go figure out your background and everything, but you are good with the kids. Some of the kids are tough. Like, there's this one kid in particular who every time you tell him something, he doesn't listen, he does it wrong, and then he answers back, he goes, the reason I didn't do this is because, and then, of course, I have to make the kid do push-ups, or, and then the mom always says that I'm the bad coach, and when the kid loses, how can you teach him that? I'm like, because your kid doesn't listen. It's hard sometimes, you know, but it's funny. I mean, the kids are actually, they're pretty goofy. And
yeah, but it's different. I mean, I'm only 25 years old, but I couldn't even imagine, you know, talking back to my coach when I was in high school and middle school. And
oh, it's a whole different, I mean, the kid told me to shut up the other day. I said, yeah. He came late. I go, why'd you late? He goes, shut up. So I made him do 100 blocks, which 100 sprawls. And then after 74, I'm like, all right, enough. You could come back with the team. And I'm, you know, I do love coaching. Coaching is like, you know, wrestling to me is like the greatest sport in the world, and it's taught me character, and to be able to teach other kids is like, you kind of, it helps, and it's great sometimes. A funny story before I go on. There was one kid I coached over at Brooklyn Poly Prep. There was a kid that came to every practice and just got murdered. He was literally like, you know, long hair, awkward kid, kind of geeky, like just would get it the crap. You almost wanted to tell him, dude, maybe this is not your sport, but you don't want to tell a kid to quit a sport. So finally, the kid actually is in a match and finds a kid he can beat. I couldn't believe it. It was like Urkel versus McLovin. I could not believe there was actually a kid worse than this kid. And the kid wins, and it's like huge smile on his face, and he gave me a hug afterwards. And it was like after school, there was like music and doves. It was one of those things where like literally, I'm like, I changed this kid's life. I can't wait to go up to him tomorrow. He quits the next day. Like, his whole goal was to win a match, and I couldn't blame him. But it was like, he's like, I'm going out on top.
Yeah,
he's like,
out on top.
So I actually was like kind of a funny story. But yeah, I mean, wrestling, it's fun. It's a fun middle school kids because you have kids that like, can we play a game? Can we play? All they want to do is play games, you know. And then I'm like, no, we're not going to. Here's the game, wrestle, you know. Yeah. And then we have there was a hot mom on our team. I'm not going to say who, but I had a coach last year who would just show up to hang out with the hot mom. Like, literally, he'd be like, hey, I got so-and-so's mom's number. I'm like, dude, you can't coach here anymore. This is not one of those things. And I put it in my movie. So, which Chael hasn't read. So, that being said, Kurt, so you make videos for fighters, or what's your, yeah, you don't charge? I mean, what kind of business model is this?
So, I run a website called Intravid.com. I also run TitoCouture.com. And Intravid.com is just a bunch of fighter video blogs. We just organize them. We love these fighters who are doing these blogs. It's a great way to get their name out there, kind of give a connection with the fans, but they're so hard to find. So we just put it in one area and one spot and just kind of have the fans one-stop shop for fighter video blogs.
And you did it for Tim Kennedy, right?
We did some for Tim Kennedy. We work with Andrew Craig, CB Dulloway. We want to work with Adam Hunter.
Yes.
Just to get me some videos.
I'm trying to get you back. I literally am like, yeah. So I'm you know, I'm doing what I can. I will definitely, you're a nice guy. You've proven yourself. You're a real, you come every week and help work with kids. And to me, that's more important. To me, that's the best. That's honestly, like, I appreciate you. So, of course, yeah. I'll give you my videos to look bad. Now, The Ultimate Fighter. We'll talk about this one coming up. So, Cody Bollinger, we all saw what happened with Cody Bollinger. He didn't make weight. You know what's funny? I actually called Cody after I saw that, and because I know Cody, and I felt terrible. I'm like, oh man, it was just like it's hard to watch. A guy crying, and then his, and then of course fighters are tweeting me like Abel Trujillo's like, this guy needs Xanax, LOL. And so I call Cody. I'm like, dude, I saw what happened. This is before the show aired, and he's like, oh man, he's like, thanks for the call. And I was like, dude, keep your head up. And he goes, man, please keep making fun of me. he goes, don't stop making the jokes, whatever you do. And I'm like, dude, this guy's all right, man. I mean, he's asking me to keep making fun of him. But then he tweets out last night that he signed a 6-figure World Series of Fighting contract.
Yeah.
Which hopefully he signed that contract and already got paid. Because the last thing you want to be doing is saying, hey, I didn't make weight on The Ultimate Fighter. I'm now getting 6 figures on a World Series of Fighting. Because there are fighters in the UFC who are not getting 6 figures.
Yeah.
Most fighters are not getting 6 figures. And he wouldn't be getting that in the UFC. So hopefully that's true. I don't know if I believe it. I like Cody. He's a good dude. He's got a hot wife. And his wife is always tweeting me. Not like DMing me, but she's always very supportive. But I'm like, Jesus, like, you know, I mean, that was weird. It was like, I understand why he would say that. And I think that I told him, I said, dude, stay off Twitter because people are going to be attacking you and you don't want to get into a situation where you're, because, you know, these guys aren't necessarily the most social media savvy human beings. And I'm sure their feelings get hurt. But wow.
Yeah, he was definitely active on Twitter before this episode aired, and knowing that was what was going to happen.
Yeah. On the new Ultimate Fighter, so it starts off, Ronda's doing shots with her team. And Ronda Rousey looks like the kind of girl that after 3 or 4 shots, she is the kind of girl that is going to be fun, but is going to pick me up to have sex. I mean, she's getting more and more ripped on each episode. It's gotten to the point where, like, her chest has that, like, you know, I don't know what you call it, but it's like where, boob muscles or whatever, yeah, but she's getting freaking, I mean, it's hot. There's a point where, like, you go from hot to tranny, where girls are like fit and you want to hit it, and then there's like, all right, now you're a dude with a vagina. So you don't want to get too much like that. So Ronda Rousey's doing shots with the team, and, you know, the team's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden there becomes, for some odd reason, I know Harley Davidson, I know they sponsor the UFC and they make a lot of money and whatever. But it becomes like a 14-minute infomercial halfway through the show about Harley Davidson, where literally everyone's trying the Harley and they're teaching. First of all, if you're an athlete, you shouldn't be on a Harley. I'm sorry to say that, but if you look at all the guys like Frank Mir, who after his motorcycle accident,
Aldo
the guy on the Chicago Bulls that had that.
Williams.
Jason Williams. I mean, at least wait till you're after your career is to have a Harley Davidson. It's never going to. And then Cain Velasquez comes in on a Harley out of nowhere. I mean, first, you think they have Cain to teach some moves? No, he just comes on a Harley and then rides out like he's like the Lone Ranger. But why is he in a Harley? I mean, he's the UFC champion. He should be walking with like an armored guard around him. He shouldn't be. He's like, yeah, I take my Harley every day. And I'm like, Jesus, like, are you guys insane? So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. So we're going to have Sarah Morris and Raquel on the we had Raquel on the show. So basically now what's happening is that because the girls have to fight each other on the same team, it seems that Tate is now favoring Juliana and Holdsworth and not training Sarah Morris and Raquel. And they're angry about that. And I understand where Misha Tate's coming from, because you have your favorites. She trained with Juliana before. She knew her before the show. And there are times when I'm coaching wrestling that, like, our guys are going at it. And I'm like, you kind of want one kid over. You don't want to root for the kid. But even in matches, sometimes, like, we have, you know, we have an odd number of kids and we have to have our own kids. But you got to train everybody. And it was evident that Sarah Morris and Raquel were being screwed. So they were angry about that. They were talking about that. But Misha didn't acknowledge it. It wasn't like They should have confronted Misha about it. They didn't.
Yeah.
And then it was funny because Master Tong was holding the mitts for Holdsworth, and then Louis Fassette was like, "Oh, maybe I'll have him. I'll hold the mitts for me." And instead, he wanted him to spar. And Louis Fassette had stitches everywhere, and was like, "Dude, I got stitches." And it just reminded me of Holdsworth coming on our show and talking about Master Tong asking everybody for money and then bolting out. I could not help think of that during the show. So, anyway, what ends up happening is it's the final match. Holdsworth is taking on Michael Wooten, and Holdsworth is a beast. He's the next level. He's on a different level than the other kids in the house. You never know, because the final, and every time there's an Ultimate Fighter, it seems like one guy is going to beat everybody, and then in the final, like last year was Uriah Hall, and the year before it was that kid from Brazil that was just intimidating everybody. I forgot the kid's name.
Diego Brandão,
yeah. And then he ended up losing. He ended up winning, actually, but he didn't do that great in the UFC so far. So you never actually, never know. Michael Johnson, who we're having, we thought he was going to win. He was dominating, but at the same time, Holdsworth is legitimate, trains at Team Alpha Male. Not that Wooten isn't, but when you're training a Team Alpha Male with Chad Mendes and Uriah and, you know, TJ Dillashaw and those monsters every day, Benavidez, you're just on a different level.
Yeah, you got to get better working with those guys.
And that's what he is. He's a black belt under two people, and he's just, yeah. So Holdsworth goes out and, you know, submits him pretty quick. And takes no damage at all during the fight, and is looking great. So next week, we have Juliana against Sarah Morris. So and funny, because a lot of people on the internet on the underground. The underground's really funny, by the way. Like some of the people, there's this. I know this is a tangent. I'm going to talk about this for 2 minutes, but there's this epic thread right now. If you're bored, like I am, I shouldn't be bored. I have stuff to do, but there's a thread between Dan the Wolfman. I don't know. No one's going to even know what I'm talking about. There's a guy named Dan the Wolfman who makes these videos. And in his videos, I guess he used to be in the UFC a long, long time ago. And now he's got lupus, and he's like 38 or 39. But he makes these videos where he name drops. Like, he's sort of like, I told Chuck Liddell about this, and I told this, and I told Randy that how to beat this guy. And then he has these like training videos, and he'll just post them. And you're not supposed to bump your own thread. He doesn't care. He'll bump his own thread like 30. No one responds but Dan the Wolfman, right? Finally, some kid will be like, Dan, you suck. I can kick your ass. And so then Dan gets into it, right? So it became this whole thing. I guess he had an epic battle with Josh Barnett, and Barnett called him out and said, Dan the Wolfman, you're not really. I went to a thing. You're an embarrassment, blah, blah, blah. You didn't teach anybody anything. Because according to Dan the Wolfman, he's an actor, and he's in this. And I can't believe I'm even talking about this. But anyway, so Dan the Wolfman, someone writes on this thread, Prime Dan the Wolfman versus Uncle Creepy, right? And literally, it becomes a 400-thing thread. And all these fighters, like Uncle Creepy comes in, and he posts about it. And everyone's arguing. It starts off about, like, whether or not who would win. And Dan the Wolfman says he would win the last three rounds. I hate to say it, Dan the Wolfman, as much as, like, I'm sure you can kick my ass, and I'm sure you have, like, legitimate skills, you're not beating Uncle Creepy. But there was one video before on a tangent where he posted where he's teaching people how to defend yourself against a knife. And he's literally on his like front yard with a guy who's like going at him with a knife. And then someone kept thinking like, what are your neighbors saying? Yeah. That there's like you're this grown man fighting with knives. But this guy, I got to get Dan the Wolfman on our show. But anyway, So Dan the Wolfman, Uncle Creepy, and then it's just the thread keep. There's a guy named Nader who used to fight for Bellator, and he hates Dan the Wolfman, and they're trying to set up a fight between these two. And then Jimmy Manawa comes. It just becomes this whole thing where like it's now people hate Dan the Wolfman. They think he's full of shit. And then people start saying like Dan the Wolfman told Steven Seagal everything. It just becomes. But it is one of the funniest waste of times things I've ever read in my life. I was literally crying on some of these people. Some of you are very. It's like, oh man. Anyway, look, we have a show. We can't talk about this, but this is funny to me. All right, Sarah. So let's call Sarah Kaufman. Let's call her right now. Hey, is this Sarah Kaufman?
This is Sarah.
How's it going? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm doing great.
Sarah, it's an honor to talk to you. You're the first ever Strikeforce Women's Champion and the hardcore champion fighting women's bantamweight champion, and now you're in the UFC. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everything that you've done in the past kind of leads you to where you are, you know, now, and I'm definitely proud of a lot of the things I've accomplished in the sport and for myself as an athlete and as a person.
Yeah, no, you're killing it. Now, you start off as a dancer? But like a real dancer, not like a stripper. I mean, you were actually like a real dancer.
Yeah, although when I was like 5 or 6, for some reason, like I remember being like, you know, I think I want to be a stripper. I don't know why. Like I never watched anything like that. Or
really?
I don't know. Like I remember at a young age for a short period of time being like, yeah, you know, that would be cool. And then that passed really quickly because it wouldn't be cool. But I was an actual dancer. Yeah, I did kind of ballet, tap, jazz, hip-hop, musical theater, and a little bit of, like, Irish step dance.
Wow.
Pretty much a mix of everything from kind of the time I was started at 2 and did it till about 19 or 20, maybe. I was 21.
So you never stripped for, like, boyfriends before or anything, or you never?
No. No, I actually hate being naked.
Real? What? You hate being naked? Well, you're an athlete with a great killer athlete body. Why would you hate being naked?
I'm very modest, if you will.
Oh, that's good. And you're from Canada, right?
I am, yeah.
Where in Canada?
Far, far west coast, so Victoria, British Columbia, right by kind of Vancouver and Seattle.
I find that Canadian women are like the coolest women. Am I right about that? I'm not just saying that. Like it just
that's
seems
nice
like
of you to say. I think all Canadians in general, like seemingly we're pretty nice. I don't know, Victoria, we're pretty laid back. So west coast, kind of similar to west coast life, I would assume in the States, just people are pretty chill and have a good time with life and. We're just nice to people.
No, I actually had a threesome in Canada, and it was these two after my show. These two girls, they were like, "Welcome to Canada," and I was like, "Oh, that's amazing." We were in Minnesota. It wasn't even in Canada. It was very strange. But
well, congratulations.
Thank you. We got to talk about your last fight. It was a very very close fight, very controversial fight. We had Jessica I on the show. Did you hear the interview with her?
Yeah, I did actually.
Anything that you'd like to say about that or how you'd like to respond?
Not even really a response. You know, I do think that it was a really exciting fight and, you know, the split decision, you know, it was a close fight. Honestly, you know, and I've said this, you know, I say congratulations to her and to myself, you know, for us representing women's in the sport, you know, and putting on a fight that fans love to see and would want to see again in terms of our styles and how we fight. You know, I do think that there were some close rounds. You know, I think round one was pretty close. You know, round two, I definitely think that I took. And then round three, for sure, I know 100% without question that I took. And so I think that I should have won by at least 29-28. But, you know, honestly, my biggest thing is in the scoring of round three. Because if it had been a split decision and two judges had scored round two for her and one for me, or two for me and one for her, you know, I think that's how people judge and that's at their discretion. Honestly, I just think the biggest issue was with that third round where it was clearly a domination in that round. You know, she said so herself that, you know, she was in trouble and that she thought she won the first two and knew that she lost the third. So for me, honestly, it's just that third round that, you know, something needs to be done about the judging and have judges who actually know what they're watching, because I just don't know how you would score that third round for her, which decided the fight. You know, at the end of the day, I'm happy with the fight. I think I won. She's happy with the fight. She thinks she won. And, you know, that's how fighting goes. You know,
I thought it was a very tough fight to score. I think you did more damage in the third than she did, but I think she might land more shots in the first two. It depends on how it was a very, very close fight.
Absolutely, you know. Absolutely. And honestly, for me, it's just that scoring of the third round. You know, I don't know how much more one person can do, you know, if you have someone in danger and you outstrike them by, or outland and outthrow in the round, you know, and there was no ground game in that round. I just think that that's where the issue is just the inconsistency in the judging, and it was a problem throughout the whole night and is a problem on a regular basis for a lot of fight cards. And it would be great to see commissions take a little bit of responsibility for that. And if there's a bad call, then, you know, commissions should be able to step in and kind of say, you know, you're either suspended from judging, or they should be able to kind of go back and do some replays. Or I don't know the solution, but I do think that there should be educated judges so that when we go in there to do our job, it's not at all marred or skewed for a win or a loss on your record based on someone not knowing.
No, I totally hear you. But the same thing. It's like you can't fight City Hall. It's like that's a whole bigger issue, the judging, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I mean. Like, I don't know what can be done about it, but, you know, it would be it's our livelihood as athletes and as professional fighters. And, yes, of course, you know, you don't want to leave a fight up to the judges. You know, you want it to be an easy, oh, yeah, you knocked them out. You got the submission. You did whatever. And they don't come into play at all. But when people are really good and when the skill set is as high as, you know, both Jessica and myself, that doesn't always happen. And you should be able to rely on at least a modicum of appropriateness when it comes to looking at and knowing what you're looking
at. At the same time, your fight was close. I mean, there are times like Bisbing versus Hamill where I'm like, what were the judges looking at? I mean, there were fights that I'm like, dude, matches.
You're
you know.
Amazed that there's even an option that they could have won the fight. I agree with that, absolutely.
Now you're a girl that you've been around with this for a while. You've been in the sport for a long time. You actually beat Miesha Tate, and then you fought Ronda Rousey. You lost to Ronda Rousey. How do you feel their rematch going?
Yeah, honestly, it's really hard to call fights. I'm not good at calling fights at all because MMA is so kind of up and down. I do think that Ronda's strength and Ronda's substantially bigger than Miesha, I think that will play a factor in the fight. But I could actually see it going, you know, maybe into the second, the third. You know, I don't see it going five rounds at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe Ronda comes out with a win again, but I don't think that it's going to be a first round finish.
When you fought Ronda, was that what you were so amazed by, was how strong she was?
Honestly, I didn't find her overly strong. I didn't find that she out-muscled me. I've never really found that any girl has out-muscled me in that sense. You know, I didn't show up, and she did. She started fast, and, you know, I just didn't. She did a great job of coming in and doing exactly what she wanted to do, and I knew that she was going to do all those things and just didn't get those cylinders firing fast enough. And by the time I was defending the armbar, I did an all right job defending. I defended for probably longer than anything else that happened in the fight. But, you know, that's what she does. I mean, everyone knows that. But, you know, that's what she's been doing her whole life. And you can't put yourself in those situations in the first place. And, you know, she did a great job, and I didn't show up.
I mean, it was a case of nerve. I mean, you obviously trained, you worked your ass off, you thought you were ready, you came out in the corner. Was it a case of, like, just octagon jitters? Or, I mean, it was a strike for it, was a case jitters, but a case of, like, overwhelming experience, it was too much?
No, I don't think that I can blame anything other than Ronda doing a great job of and instigating exactly what she wanted to. And, you know, I did some, you know, I was a little bit too much in my head and wasn't fighting enough. I was doing a little bit too much thought process. And, you know, a minute goes by really fast. And a lot of times in that minute, you know, there's a lot of feeling out process, and there wasn't any of that. And so that kind of took me out of my comfort zone. And as I say, you know, you can't take away Ronda did exactly what she wanted to do. And I just kind of overthought things, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, I'm stuck in this position that, you know, it is terrible. And, it, you know, that's the hardest thing for me, is not showing up for that fight, because I don't have an excuse. I can't say I had a bad training camp or a bad weight cut or I felt sick or I was really nervous. You know, I
always wonder, though, like, after a fight like that, okay, so, because I always wonder, you always hear about, you know, everyone was kind of going crazy for Ronda, Ronda this, Ronda that. And I felt for you, I have to say, because you kind of came in, you were sort of like, okay, you know, she beat you in dramatic fashion. Then I was like, well, what happens to Sarah Kaufman, like, the week after that? Are you depressed? Or is there Do you walk around like with your head down? I mean, do you not leave your house? What happens?
It would be great if you could just stay in and not leave the house. But at the end of the day, that kind of stuff happens, and you feel kind of like an for, knowing that you have the skill set, and you know, you let yourself down, you let your team down, you let your coaches down, you kind of let the world down. You know, all these people, they want you to beat Rhonda because Rhonda has this mouth on her. And I don't care about that, but, you know, there would be satisfaction, like, oh, yeah, you know, she came in and I wiped her out. And then to kind of have kind of the opposite happen when I know that I'm so much better than that, you know, it was really upsetting. And I had to go and I had arranged to do a little video shoot for a cooking show prior to the fight. So I had to go in on kind of Monday morning, came home Sunday, Monday morning, had to go to this cooking show. And right away I had to go in and teach at Zumba, at the gym that I kind of run and teach. And
you teach Zumba?
You know, Zumba.
Oh, Zumba.
Close to Zumba, but we don't dance.
Oh, okay. Now, did you poison everyone's food afterwards? Were you like, you know what, I'm in a bad mood. You know, this cooking show, you guys are all going to get food poisoning?
Yeah, no, they actually made me eat. I don't remember. It was like there was bacon and there was endives, and it was actually all right, except that I don't like bacon at all. But, I mean, the show itself, like, it was fun, and I kind of kept it together and, you know, was tried to be lighthearted. And then it was kind of like once I got to the gym and, you know, people are coming in and, you know, what do you say? Yeah. Other than like, oh, you'll get it next time. You
oh,
know,
that's got to be. So honestly, after I have a bad set, like I have, keep your head up or I thought you were funny or I can't imagine what you have to go through after that.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard. And mentally it's, you know, my coach actually had family in town that he had to kind of take around. So he wasn't even in the gym that much. So I kind of have the full burden of all these people being like, you know, some people wanted to tiptoe. Some people want to say something, you know, and I had a little girl come in like, so this is, you know, Monday and I'm still just killing myself and kicking myself for being so stupid. And, you know, she comes in and she's like, my dad said that you got armbarred. and it was so innocent and it wasn't.
Did you knock the kid out?
Meant, sorry?
Did you knock the little kid out for saying that? Or
no, but I was just like, you're right. I did, you know, and I have to teach these kids and try and be upbeat, but, you know, you're hurting inside because it's your pride and your passion and your work ethic and kind of everything all combined, and it's hard to not label yourself as kind of a loser in that sense of, you know, you feel really trodden down, and it is a hard thing to come back from, but it's part of the fight game.
Well, you're obviously not a loser. You're in the UFC. What's next for you?
Honestly, I don't know. You know, I have no injuries at all. You know, I look like I was never even in the fight. And I've been back training every day after a fight. I always go for a run first thing in the morning. So I've been training,
wow,
you know, since the morning after the fight. And honestly, I'm ready to go whenever.
Now, you seem like a very cool, down-to-earth, like, girlfriend-type girl. Do you have a boyfriend, or are you into girls? Into guys? What's your deal?
No, I'm single. You do like this question a lot, though. You're very interested in the personal life.
Oh, yeah, well, because this is part of our show. We want to know. We don't want to just hear about, I mean, there's 1,000 other podcasts. People ask you the same question. Who do you train with? Who do you do this? Who do that? But I want to get to know about you as a person. So you're single. Yeah. Do you have a plenty of fish profile? What exactly?
No. The thing is I actually don't really like talking to people. I'm very kind of reserved and shy with people that I don't know at all. And I don't drink. I don't party. And I'm not a big online person. I find it creepy,
right,
to have to like put up your profile and then go search through guys and they're searching through you. And then I don't know. I just think a lot of people, like, what am I going to say? Like, I don't want to say that I'm an MMA fighter, because then people are like, oh, you know, they're kind of peaked in a creepy way.
So what? Yeah, of course. So when was the last time you had a boyfriend?
I don't know. A really long time.
So you haven't had a boyfriend so you're not dating, you're single. I mean, this is like the glass menagerie. I mean, there's got to be some kind of, any prospects, any booty calls? I mean,
honestly, I'm really not into that. I think partially because it's just, I'm so focused on what I'm doing. You know, I'm at the gym 12 hours a day, teaching, training myself. You know, I leave I leave the house at 8 a.m. and I get home at like 9:30 or 10.
And guys at the gym, guys don't ask you out at the gym. Hey, want to go get a drink afterwards? Or
yeah, I don't have any interest in dating anyone from the gym.
Right.
I've had a couple guys like ask in the past, but I think it's hard when your whole life is already one thing.
Right.
And then, you know, to have someone else from the gym where I also work. It's not like I just train at the gym. Like I work here. I do all the kind of management side, you know, collect bills, that kind of thing. So to be like, okay, yeah, you owe us some money.
You got to have more fun in your life. This is depressing. This is more depressing than the Ronda fight. I mean, seriously, you need a guy to take you out. I mean, okay, let's say I'm a guy and I want Sarah Kaufman. I said, this is my girl right here. This is what I want. How does a guy get to you? I mean, what is?
Yeah, I do have a pretty big wall. I'm actually a little bit of a solo bird. Like I'm not against talking to people and hanging out with people and having relationships with people. But I am very kind of reserved and I take a long time to warm up to someone.
You know what? That's very sweet. In this day and age, 2013, with the world star hip hop honeys and all these chicks and the hoochies and the girls showing their.
They're
vaginas everywhere. It's nice to have the other extreme where you're just like, you know what? No D. I don't want the D. If it shows up somehow miraculously, I'll take it. But I'm Sarah Kaufman, and you have to earn it. Am I right?
Yeah, kind of. And it's like, you know, I'd want to probably be friends with them first, because I think any guy, and I think most females who fight would say that, like any guy who initially finds out that you're a fighter, and then they're into you. It's for a different reason than who you are. And I mean, I think Jessa probably feels the same way, kind of what she was saying. It's hard because people are kind of weird with it.
They become fanboys.
So you can beat me up.
Yeah, they become fanboys.
I'd let you beat me up. And then it's weird.
All right. So, well, we got to get going. We've learned a lot here, Sarah. you are definitely a tough nut to crack. But hopefully, you know. Hopefully one day, I'm sure you'll meet a guy that like somehow ends up in your life.
And they'll weasel their way in there. It'll happen.
Okay, so the heading is going to be Sarah Kaufman. There will be a guy to weasel his way into Sarah Kaufman. Is that a good heading? Is that
maybe I don't know. Weasel his way into Sarah Kaufman sounds a little bit crude.
Okay, all right. So we're not going to say that. So no one's going to weasel their way into Sarah Kaufman.
No one can weasel their way into Sarah Kaufman. You got it.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show. You've been a great sport. I'm a fan. And
thank you so much.
And I won't try to weasel my way into you. If I meet you, I promise I'll be very respectful. We'll do Zumba together. And
you know, it could be entertaining.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thanks for being on the show. You're a great athlete and a great person.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Hello?
Hey, is this Sarah Mraz?
Yes, it is.
How's it going? It's Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Hey, it's going good. How are you?
Good. Congrats on all your success. You're killing it on The Ultimate Fighter.
Thank you.
You're doing very well. I got to ask you, though. We'll get into that. Now, Anthony said in the earlier episode that you like him. And I was like, there's no way that she likes Anthony. But then you said he was the hottest guy in the house. So do you like, I mean, are you into Anthony or what's going on there?
I'm not into Anthony. I actually said that like right at the very beginning. I mean, he's good looking, but I'm not attracted to him. I said that before he even did that interview where he said that. So it's sort of just a time.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They sort of make it seem different than it was.
Right. So you're not into Anthony because I asked if you guys hooked up and no one that came on the show would confirm it nor deny it. So you're saying nothing nothing happened between you and Anthony? You've heard it here first? Is that the truth?
Not that I remember, at least.
Oh, so it might have happened. Maybe you were drunk and something could have happened, or?
I don't drink. So
oh, you don't drink. Okay. All right.
Something happened. It wasn't wasn't legal.
Oh, got you. All right. So now you're from Canada, correct?
Yep.
And you're in Canada right now?
Yes, I am.
Now, is The Ultimate Fighter, is it big in Canada?
It's to some extent. I think it's probably bigger in the U.S. than it is here.
But people are recognizing you, like, hey, you're Sarah Morris. Is that...
Maybe like once a week or so I'll get someone that recognizes me, but not very often.
Oh, well, I would recognize you. Now you have this, by the way, you have great eyes. You have crazy eyes. They are a little crazy, but they're great. They definitely look like, you look like you'd be trouble for a guy. Like you have, does anybody ever tell you that, that you have crazy?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Got some crazy eyes.
No, it's good. It looks like you could definitely... Anyway, so now the whole thing on the show, I got to say... By the way, how did you get the nickname Cheesecake?
For my first pro fight, I had a friend dare me to come out to a song called Cheesecake by the Muppets. And so I did. And my other friend, she said that she'd bake me a cheesecake if I did it. So she, like, handed me this cheesecake as I came out of the cage. And after that, like, all the results on the internet, it all said Sarah Cheesecake Morris, so it kind of stuck.
Now, do you like the nickname?
Yeah, I like it. I don't like it when people give themselves nicknames, and I'm not a very serious person, so I don't want, like, killer or takedown or some stupid nickname like that, so... I thought it would be funny, and yeah, I like it.
No, it's funny. It's actually I find the girl fighters, but their nicknames are actually pretty funny. Like you're Cheesecake, and then Carla Esparza is the Cookie Monster, and then Fallon Fox is Timber because of her fallen wood. It's sort of they're like I think there's some pretty cool nicknames, by the way. Now, what was it like being like living in the house? I mean, was that just a surreal, crazy experience, or what exactly? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like, it was so long ago, and then not being able to talk about it, it sort of feels like a really messed up dream. it's pretty crazy, but, I mean, I had a guy from my team, Mike Hill, on a previous season, so I sort of had a bit of an inside scoop, although I'm not terribly close with him. I did get a chance to talk to him a bit about it, so I had some ideas of what to expect, and I think having guys in the house made it a lot easier to cope than just a full house of females.
Right. It seemed like you were, it seemed like when you talked trash before your last fight, it didn't seem like you were really talking trash, like they told you to say that stuff? Was that like lines they were giving you, or were those your lines?
They were my lines, but they sort of asked me to, like, what's your message to Peggy? Like, what do you want to say to her? I'm like, I don't know. I, like she mostly slept and wasn't really, like, very social at this point in the house, so I didn't really know her at all. I'm like, so I just sort of said what I knew and didn't really think they'd use it because it was terrible, but they did.
Right. I mean, you did call her a giraffe. You called her a firebush giraffe?
Yeah, I called her a giraffe. I don't know. It's just what came to mind.
Now, you called out Ronda Rousey after getting into the house. Is that something that you still want to fight? You still want to fight Ronda? Or, I mean, is that...
Of course I want to fight Ronda. She's the champ right now. I think if people are fighting, especially like at this level, to be in the house, I'm sure every one of them wants to fight Ronda, at least at some point, to get that shot at that title, you know, and take it away from her, break her undefeated record. So, I mean, yeah, I think if you don't want to fight Ronda, you're an idiot, especially if you're a female. Well, I guess if you're a female in the sport.
Yeah. Well, I think Caro wants to fight her too. But now there was a thing where
maybe he'll get a sex change and fight her.
It's happened. I think maybe. Now you actually so you and Raquel were
okay.
You and Raquel are upset about Misha not training you. You basically Raquel is that Misha is favoring Juliana, and you and Raquel are kind of left to the side.
Yep. Yeah, I kind of figured that would be in the next episode. That's definitely how I felt pretty much since the very beginning. Even like with Juliana having the first full week preparing for her fight, it was sort of all about her. They made me work with her, make me work a lot of stuff preparing her for her fight. And then when it was my turn, it was like, you know, you have 24 hours notice to make weight and there's not really any time to work for me. And then also with her having that fight very earlier on, so they were always working with her, preparing her for the semifinals and stuff. So it was, yeah, it definitely felt like we weren't getting as much attention as Juliana.
So, like, Misha was basically favoriting Juliana because that's her friend, and then you and Raquel were just for, like, the bastard stepchildren that weren't getting any love.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even just me and Raquel. I'm pretty sure everyone on our team felt that way other than Juliana and maybe Chris Holdsworth, because he also had his one of his coaches there as a coach on the team.
Right. Now, you fought Juliana before and beaten her.
Yes.
So was that weird going into the house, like knowing that you already fought to her, that, and then you lost to Raquel also. So was there kind of some weird friction that, like, you had already beaten Juliana, so maybe now she's getting better as opposed to you getting better because she, you know, does she have an advantage or do you have an advantage?
I think skill wise, I'm a lot better, but I think she definitely had an advantage having, you know, people that she was used to working with, people that knew how she liked to be coached, and having Misha sort of work with her the entire time.
Right, right. No, I get it. I mean, it does seem like a, you know, and it's kind of weird the way the whole season's going, because the way it seemed like a lot of people were upset at the way Ronda was acting in the beginning of the show, because they thought, you know, giving the finger and then the whole fight and then the whole Edmund and you know, what's his name? The guy, Edmund and Dennis Hallman thing, all that. And now it seems to be Rhonda's becoming the better coach because she's out with the team and cares about the team. And whereas Misha's now picking sides and sort of like, okay, I was all about this for Rhonda, against Rhonda. Now I'm just all about Juliana.
Like, I haven't seen the next episode, so I don't really know yet, but...
I'll tell you what happens. So you get...
Yeah,
so what happens is you get butt-naked.
I thought the whole time that the editing was terrible for Rhonda. Like, I thought she was awesome. I know she was an awesome coach. I know everyone that I've talked to from her team love her. So it, you know, it sort of threw me off how the editing showed her.
Right, right, right. Now,
But as for Misha, hasn't really shown anything that, you know, that makes people not like her.
Right.
At least from what I've seen so far.
Well, I think the thing that seems like makes her not like her is the fact that she's not working with you and Raquel right now. That seems to be the beginning of the turn.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that episode, so I don't know yet.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I'm screwing up your whole show.
No, you're not screwing up anything. You're great. I've been wanting to talk to you for the entire, because it seems like you're a really cool girl. You definitely, a lot of people love your hips, by the way, and like your butt. They think that your butt. Just so you, I know Holdsworth said they don't call you Morass for nothing. Just that's what he came on our show and said that. Do you know that?
Who said that? Sorry,
Chris Holdsworth said that they don't call you.
Oh yeah.
He said they don't call you Morass for nothing. You didn't hear that, or?
Yeah. I've said that myself. I went to high school. You know, there were bullies. There were people that, you know, talk about me. So it's not the first time that I've heard that I have a big ass or anything like that.
Well, I mean, people aren't trying to bully.
I
I think it's a good butt. I'm not saying like more ass is a bad. I think people want more ass. That's, I mean, who doesn't want more ass?
Yeah, that's from the comments I've been reading. People aren't really insulting it.
No,
yeah.
Honestly, Sarah, you should be very proud of your ass. Just say, I mean, you should be proud of your fight career.
It makes it hard to make weight, though.
Yeah, I could see that. That's probably a tough thing. Or maybe your ass could be in a different division or something. You know, maybe you could just have your ass weigh in at, you know, 110.
Separately.
Yeah, exactly. Now you said you got into MMA because your boyfriend started doing it and you wanted to impress him. And now here you are. Who is your boyfriend? Is he a pro fighter? Or?
I wouldn't say I did it to impress him, but he just thought I'd enjoy a class. So I figured I'd check it out. I actually wanted to be like a forest firefighter, but I was too young to apply, so I figured I'd just check out a class and get in shape. Right. He is a pro fighter, but I don't know if I want to say his name. I haven't really talked to him in
Oh, come on, tell us who it is. We have to know. Okay, so he's...
No, I can't say. I can't throw him under the bus like that.
Is it... So the guy's from Canada. Is it GSP?
I wish.
Is it Patrick Cote?
It's not anyone you would have heard of.
All right. Who are the top five male fighters that you want to get with?
I don't know. Like, I don't even watch fights. I'm terrible like that. Like, people will mention...
All right, I'll say a name.
UFC fighters that have titles, and I don't even know their names.
Okay, well, I noticed that you train at Rory McDonald's old gym. Ah, there we go. Is it Rory McDonald?
No. I actually started here 3 years ago. Before that, I was training in Chilliwack, and then I went to England for a year and trained with Rosie Sexton, and then now I'm in Kelowna.
Oh, our sources are wrong. Okay, so I'm going to name a fighter, and you tell me if you'd hook up with him. Check Congo.
Probably not. He's kind of old, isn't he?
Yeah, he is kind of old. All right. Tito Ortiz.
I don't even know what he looks like.
All right. Adam Hunter.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, come on. It's me.
I know. I'm the worst. Like, I never watch UFC or anything like that. I'm the worst.
I'm not
in
the UFC. I'm a comedian. I'm the guy you're talking to, Adam Hunter. I'm the host of the show.
Oh, yes, I'd totally do you then.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That made my day. Sarah Morris would totally do Adam Hunter. That's going to be the thread of this the title of this thread. So, Sarah, you seem like a very, very cool girl. I hope you nothing but success. What do you think you need to work on the most out of your fighting skills?
I definitely need to work on my stand-up. I feel like my stand-up's a lot better than I showed in that fight. I felt very slow and sluggish and didn't feel myself going into that fight. I know my stand-up's a lot better, and I actually had a bit of knee issues, so like right now, recently. So I've been working on my hands a lot, and they've just improved like crazy. So I'm excited. I mean, there's always areas of your game to improve. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with everything. Thank you for being a guest on the show. You've been a great guest, by the way.
Thank you. You're a great host too.
Oh, thank you very much. And if you're ever in California, let me know. Are you ever coming to LA?
I don't know. I don't have a job right now. I'm kind of broke. So yeah, I'm not planning on paying for any flights or anything like that anytime soon.
Well, hopefully you'll win the Ultimate Fighter and get some money.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. All right. Well, take care, Sarah.
Okay. You too. What up?
Hey, is this John Dotson?
Yep.
Hey, it's Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man? Congratulations. You got a big fight coming up?
Yep, I'm fighting Scottie Jorgensen out in California for that UFC on Fox 9.
That's crazy. Now, all your fights are on short notice, right? Just because you're... No, kidding. No, but...
Well, because, you know, I'm so short. They just like to keep me on my toes.
Exactly. By the way, John Dotson, if people don't know, is... probably my favorite fighter and one of the nice guys, and he actually asked me to roast him. He's like, hey man, roast me. So which is I always give you credit, man, because you are a great sport. I remember last time you came on the podcast, you were talking about how a lot of times you would say things to girls like, hey, I want to get with you, but they would start laughing at you because they thought that you were kidding. Has that problem still happened? Or
that still happens. I still have that weird unique power that I can do whatever I want, and they all still think it's a joke.
That's awesome, man. So how's everything going over at Jackson's? Now, when you take a fight like this on short notice, have you been training like all the way through? Did you just get off the couch for this? And what exactly?
I went back to training on Monday, and then I got like kind of scolded for going to training on like the day after my fight, or that Monday after my fight. I started training for that couple of days, and I went to like the Hennepin Mountains, where out here all it is like a bunch of like a fishing resort, rock climbing walls everywhere, and there's nothing but like hot springs everywhere. So I was camped out for like about three days, and all of a sudden everyone's like texting me and asking me where I've been. I was like, "What are you guys talking about?" Like, "Well, we want to know if you're going to take this flight." I was like, "Y'all told me to get out of the gym, and I did, and now you telling me to get back into the gym?" They're like, "Yeah, can you do it?" I was like, "Of course." But just see, this is why I want to stay in the gym. Y'all just need just be on my side for once in your life.
that's amazing. Now, who are you camping with?
I just go out, go just by myself.
You by yourself? You just go out camping for a couple days by yourself?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, don't you get under like wolves out there? I mean, bears or?
Yeah, that's why I carry a gun and a hatchet, and then I'm not going out there like alone. Like I don't bring people with me, but I do bring ammunition.
So John Dodson, so you go out camping by yourself in Albuquerque or in like where?
Like the outside of Albuquerque. It's just still in New Mexico. I just like going everywhere so I can get away from everything.
So you build a tent, and then you go fishing during the day. You're like a real outdoorsman. You're like Huckleberry.
Yeah, I like doing everything outdoorsy, man.
That's insane. I would be in like I'm a guy from New York City and now I live in LA. I mean, being out there, I used to have to go on attitude trips out in the woods if I had a bad attitude when I was in high school. That was like my punishment. But you do that for fun. That's crazy. So you're getting texts out in the woods. People are like, "Hey, will you fight Scott Jorgensen?" Now,
the thing is, my phone wasn't working. Like, I'm out of service. Like, when I go camping and stuff, yeah, I'm out of range, and everyone's like wondering where I was. I was like, well, I was driving back to Albuquerque, they're like, "Yo, you need to come back." I was like, "For what?" And then I found out what was going on. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll take fight."
That's crazy. Now Jorgensen's coming on 25 for the first time. He was supposed to fight Uncle Creepy. He's been in training for Uncle Creepy the whole time. You're stepping in. What do you have to gain for this fight? Because you're ranked. You got to be what? Ranked third or second? And Jorgensen's probably, below you, substantially probably. What do you have to gain from this?
A paycheck.
Yeah.
Like, it gives me a good exposure and also gives me a good opponent. Like, it gave me something that I wanted. I wanted to fight before the end of the year, and I'm never going to turn down a fight. I'm not that kind of person. The only reason I would turn down a fight is if I got hurt, injured, something really bad happened to my family. Like, my mom happened to, like, get eaten by wolves or something vicious like that. That would be the reason why I wouldn't fight. But what if my brother got kidnapped and I was, like, on a worldwide manhunt looking for them?
Wait, if both of your brothers got kidnapped?
I only got one brother, so if he got kidnapped and I had to go on a manhunt, I'll go do that for him and my mom. And then, nobody would see me for a while.
I would not want an angry John Dodson after me. That would be like that's like a movie in itself. Like,
I'm a ninja. And my friends like to call me a tigger, so I bounce around, and they won't know what's coming at them. They just hear a creepy laugh in the background.
Now, you, because of ninjas, you were on Ninja Warrior, and what happened there?
Oh, man, I just messed up my grip. I thought I could go ahead and grab on the inside, and they were yelling at me while I like, made grip. They're like, "No, you can't do that." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I'm going in the water." I dipped it. I'm so mad. It was like a course designed for me, and I still messed it up.
I think it's more impressive that you're going to be the UFC champion pretty soon than winning some stupid TV show about Ninja Warrior.
Hey, man, that thing is designed for me. I need to go back on there and win it.
Now, the octagon, when you fight, it becomes like a trampoline in there, whereas you basically... I never saw a guy bounce and do flips off the cage like you do. Does anybody ever get upset with you, like Jackson, say, "Hey, listen, you got to stop doing that. You might hurt yourself"?
No, because I actually train with some guys out here that are professional free runners, and they're all helping me get ready and do some stuff and just keep my mind off of actually fighting and gives me something else to do, and it's a different type of cardio workouts that I can do over here at Zero Point.
Right. So. Now, how do you – I have to know, because you said – before last time because the word is, someone came on the show and said that you slay the most bitches out of Jackson's camp. That John Dodson is a beast. is that truth to that? Are you the guy like going out there and just annihilating women? Is that what's going on here?
I have the most confidence, so I can go talk to as many women as possible. Now, running through them, that's a different story. I got the most confidence to pick up any girl, but for them to actually to take it serious. Remember, I have that magical power. Anything I say is a joke to them. So they'll give me the number, and I'll ask them on a date, and they'll still sit there and be like, yeah, we'll go do this. And then I'll be waiting for them at dinner or movie or whatever we're planning on doing by myself.
Oh, man.
I know. I think they just don't see me because I'm
You think maybe they came to the movie, but they didn't know that you were there?
Well, if they went to the movies and they couldn't see me, it's because, one, it's dark in there, and two, I'm short. So, yeah, that's definitely not – those two are not in my favor right there. So that's why I tried to do the whole dinner thing. Like, hey, girl, let's go have dinner. And I don't think that they can see me over the bar stool sometimes. And I'm like Kevin Hart pointing at them with my feet. Like, hey, you over there. Uh-huh, that's you. You my date. Come here. I'm going to use my toes, like, bring her towards me instead of my fingers and stuff. I'm just telling you, I got like the worst luck sometimes.
So you are having trouble Dotson's having trouble getting laid. That's crazy. That to me should be against the law, because you're a very entertaining guy, you're a good looking guy, you're a UFC star. I mean, if you can't get laid, there's no hope for any of the little people out there.
I just think they think I'm too immature for the way that I act, and I'm always so happy and bubbly as a person.
Yeah, but I mean, are you that happy and bubbly, or is there some kind of deep seated? Because, I mean, you are a fighter, so there's obviously some type of, like, you know, I can see, like, when you get mad, it's probably takes a lot for you to get mad, but when it happens, you're probably, you know, you don't want to mess with John Dawson.
Oh, when I get mad, I go ballistic, but, like, I'm always happy and everything. It's just, like, I really don't let things bother me too much. I can get over things pretty quickly.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it was funny, because even on The Ultimate Fighter, when you were the mole, you were still the most likable mole in the history of the Ultimate Fighter. Like, it was like you couldn't even get mad at you. And by the way, my ex girlfriend thought that your nickname was the mole. She was like,
"Oh, really?"
Yeah, she thought that was John the Mole Dotson. I'm like, no. I had to explain to her what a mole was. Like, she thought you were like on like someone's face, like a mole. Like, that was your nickname because you were short. I was like, no, it's not that. But so cool, man. So so who do you like? By the way, I got to ask you. So have you trained? Aside GSP over at Jackson's?
Yeah, I trained with him when he used to come down here a lot, but he doesn't come out to Albuquerque as much as he used to.
Did you actually spar with him ever?
Yeah, he said he needed somebody with speed. So it was cool, kind of like doing like a boxing camp, like where they grab different weights and speeds and heights and everything else like that for different variables, instead of trying to just always go into one body type the whole time.
Right.
So I never got to grapple with him because he would always just try to lay on top of me and just sit there, catch his breath. I was like, this is cheating, Greg. We need somebody. Replace me. Tag me out. Somebody, please.
So he was trying to hump you the whole time? Even you? He couldn't finish Dotson?
No. Absolutely not. Could not finish Dotson. Dotson getting upset. So why am I talking to myself in a third person? I was getting upset, trying to tag out, looking for somebody to help me. And then Rashad always just look at me and just point, hey, that's what you get, son.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
It's not funny. It's me.
That's pretty funny. I don't know. It makes me laugh. You're making me laugh this whole podcast, man. This is a crazy podcast. So Dotson versus Hendricks. Who do you like? I'm Dotson versus Hendricks. GSP versus Hendricks. Who do you like?
Oh, wait. Obviously, Dotson. That's who I got.
Dotson versus Hendricks. So GSP Hendricks. Who do you like?
That's a tough one, man. Like, I like how Hendricks has the power and he has that speed and control, and he actually has really good wrestling. But George has like that weird, unique ability where he makes everyone look really bad. So it doesn't matter who he fights, he makes them look like they were not in his league or not the same type of category. He beats everybody up with a jab, and it's the simplest thing in the world that everyone looks in boxing is learn how to jab. And then he learns how to do a knee tap. Like, George is phenomenal at doing those two things, and it proves that the basics are the key fundamentals of everything in life.
Right.
Instead of doing all everything flashy like how I do.
Well, you have basics. I mean, you have the basics down. I mean, you're not. I mean, you're quick as hell, and your overhand right is lethal. So.
That's the only thing I got. I need to work on something else.
Right. So okay. What about Chael versus Rashad?
Oh, Rashad all day. Like, Rashad's gonna be on that game plan, but if he can beat Chael, he can definitely go down to 85 and dominate that weight class.
You think Rashad's gonna finish Chael?
Maybe not, because Chael is like a hard guy to finish. but it would be a good way for him to kind of cement himself or get his confidence back up there. So they're saying he can go with a world champion all the time.
Right, right. And then now a fight that just got made, 169, Dominic versus Barao.
I got Barao. I know that sounds so bad, but I have Barao winning that because I see him being unstoppable. At 135, he's a beast. And Dominic Cruz hasn't fought for 2 years. He's probably just coming out, like, actually been working out for the last 6 months-ish, maybe. And hasn't really been hit, has been tested, and probably has that ring rust coming through. So,
yeah, it's kind of a shame that you guys don't get, like, tune-up fights. You know, if it was in boxing, he would get a tune-up fight and then have to fight.
And this, he doesn't. Like, his tune-up fight is the guy who's been considered as a champion in his division. When Dominic Cruz is holding the belt, somebody else is being called the champion. Somebody else is being called the number one fighter in the world. And it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like an ego situation for him, where he knows he has to step up his game.
Right. And then Aldo Lamas?
Aldo.
Yeah.
Like, Aldo Lamas has good power, good striking, his good wrestling technique, but I think Jose is still going to be have that mental edge over him.
Right. Yeah. Now, have you been watching The Ultimate Fighter at all?
Yes.
Now, are you Team Rousey or Team Tate?
I'm just Team Kick-Ass.
No, if you had to be with one of them, let's say it's the last day on Earth, and you had to choose between Ronda Rousey or Misha Tate, which one would you hook up with?
Well, I wouldn't hook up with either one of them, but if I had to be on somebody's team, I'd probably be on Misha's, just because of the fact of how she's actually being understanding to the fighters. Versus it being a more of a personal attack on themselves, like how Ronda is. Like, she's basically taking everything to heart as if it was like she lost it and not really caring how her teammate or her team is feeling.
Yeah, she's not a good loser. I coach a little kids wrestling team. I've been doing it for 8 years, and I gotta say, like, there are many times I've wanted to give the other coach a middle finger after the match, but I would never do that. Because of the way the kids would look at me, like, what kind of, come on, you know, I'm kind of surprised actually that Ron is doing that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're the person that those girls are trying to become and look at you as that star, and you're kind of just drifting off into your own world and making it everything about yourself versus them. It's not your career that's on the line. It's the fighters that are on there on the show's career. Not, like, and she's just kind of making it more egotistical or.
Yeah,
either egotistical or narcissist.
Right,
one of the two.
Now, have you ever hooked up with Julie Kedzie?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to date anybody on the gym because one, what's that old saying? Oh, shit, where I eat. Same thing.
Yeah.
So any of those girls that walk through the gym, doesn't matter who they are. She can be the finest woman in the world. I still just look at them, stare at them, be like, wow, she's cute. Well, I guess I have to spar with her in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Seeing the cue out there, she's going to punch me in the face. I mean, we're looking at her as revenge. I've got a new opponent. I'm going to start beating her up. One time I can beat up a woman and it'd be okay.
Dude, you're funny, man. I think you have a career in broadcasting or like acting. After this whole MMA thing happened, after you're done with that, you should go into acting. I've called you Webster before and stuff, but I honestly really think that you have like a legitimate charm, and you should think about it, man.
Well, I was trying to do stunts, but they kept on telling me I had to cut weight, and so I can be a stunt double for kids, and I didn't like the sound of that.
Yeah, that would be. No, I'm talking about forget stunts. I'm saying like should be a movie. But anyway, dude, you're Dotson. You always come through in a clutch. I want to have you on all the time. I'm a big fan. Don't go out. Don't get eaten by a bear or anything if you go camping. I get concerned. Just be careful when you're out there by yourself.
Well, now I can't go camping and go rock climbing because of the fact that I got this fight coming up.
Yeah.
I have to stay. They always keep me homebound. And then between my sexes, I was just working on double backs and double fronts. Now I can't go ahead and go train them because I might hurt myself.
Yeah.
Like doing double backflips and double front flips, and that everyone was getting all excited. I was even excited, but I was like pulling them off.
Well, you know, it could be worse. It could be worse. I can't wait for your fight, man. Good luck with everything, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Bye, brother. Talk to you later.
Well, that is our podcast. We'll talk about this for a second. I like John Dodson a lot. I think he's a good dude. Nice guy. He's funny as hell. Great fighter. And it's so funny. He goes to the movies by himself or waiting for a girl, and they don't know he's there. I mean, what a good sport. I love when guys can laugh at themselves like that. Holy shit. Maybe it helps when you can beat someone's ass, but still, that's says a lot about the guy. Right, Kurt?
Yeah, he's a good fighter. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
And, he's gonna do well.
He's going to do well.
He's going to be he could be a champ.
I think he could beat Johnson, Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, it's tough for him to go five rounds with somebody like that. He's such a fast twitch athlete, I think. You know, he's got that power. And that
to go
speed.
Five rounds with Johnson?
Yes. You know, because Johnson's got so much endurance and
yeah, but I mean, Dodson's got endurance also.
Yeah, but not like that. I mean, he kind of faded in that last fight.
That was the biggest. Well, yeah, but it was still a very close fight. I mean, John had him hurt the first two rounds. He dropped him a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost finished him.
He did.
So, I don't know. I think Dodson could win. That was the thing, though. Like the hard part about watching that fight was he was taking some knees. I was like, oh man, that was like.
Johnson's good, man. He's a legit champ. Benavidez and him are going to be a great fight.
Yeah. What do you think about the whole Rogan controversy on Twitter with who was it, with Sexton?
Sexton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she made that joke.
So if you're just tuning in, Rossi Sexton said, no matter how many, even 48 hours after all those hits I've taken, I still have a higher IQ than Joe Rogan. And then Rogan tweeted back, that's true.
Yeah.
And then people, Rogan's fans got very angry and said, and then Rogan defended it and said, come on, people, she's a very, but then Sexton got upset because during her fight, Rogan said it should be stopped. And her whole thing was, no, you know, it shouldn't have been stopped. The ref didn't stop it. And and then that sort of morphed into a debate on whether or not when you see women take this much punishment, would you be the same to say, well, you know, would call a fight quicker than, let's say, a guy taking that much punishment? Yeah. And, you know, it is a debate. I mean, it is a debate. And, you know, and then people are comparing it to the whole Cain Velasquez fight. But that's a little different. I think Cain was, that legitimately should have been stopped. I'm not saying Sexton should have been stopped, but and I know people are going to tell me, well, you know, but the thing about Dos Santos is he has that one punch power. Cain does come in with his hands down a little bit. He's always controlling you, but at the same time, Dos Santos was never completely out of the fight, where he even went for a sub at the end and then knocked himself out with some bizarre, move he did on himself. But at the same time, you know, while Andrade's throwing bombs, she's not throwing Cain Velasquez bombs, you know. But relative to her size, you could say, well, she's hitting it. You know, it is a debate.
I mean, it's definitely a beating. But you got to think, Sexton wanted to be in that fight more than anybody else wanted to be in, you know. Same with JDS. Like, that's a huge fight.
Right, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying, that there's a counter-argument of, like, sometimes fighters need to be saved from themselves. Because there are fighters, on that logic, there are how many times I've seen a boxing match where guys is getting murdered for 12 rounds, and you don't want to see people like, you know, then Chael Sonnen said that Velasquez, that took a lot of years off Dos Santos' life. But then people, well, you know, look, I mean, who knows how long he's going to live anyway? I mean, you're assuming the guy's going to live to 100, and then now he's going to be 95. Yeah. I mean,
I think what was on the line there, too, is his legacy. It's a championship, heavyweight championship. I mean, he's the greatest fighter, in the world. If he wins that fight, you can't just take that away, my opinion. But
yeah, no,
I get what you're saying. Like,
I understand both sides of the argument. I would tend to, maybe say a fight should be stopped quicker than it shouldn't be, because at the same time, you want to see crazy fights. You want to see bloodbaths. You want to see the Diego Sanchez versus Gilbert Melendez fights. At the same time, you don't want to see guys walking around with severe brain damage. It's not that important. So, you know, I understand. Meanwhile, Dos Santos today said that even though Cain beat him twice, he's not a better fighter. He didn't prove he's a better fighter. Which, I think if someone kicks the crap out of you for 9.5 rounds, he's a better fighter.
Yeah,
you know, I don't understand the logic of that. I mean, it'd be one thing if, let's say, like, even, you know, he caught him with a lucky submission after getting dominated.
Happened with JDS and him in the first fight, JDS and Cain in the first fight.
Right. You could say, like, that first fight, you could argue that, well, maybe not. Well, he caught a punch, put him in the back of the head. But if a guy beats you up continuously for 9.5 rounds, 2 out of 3, you're a better fighter.
I agree.
And I'm not, It's just logic. It's not, you know, but...
JDS is in a tough spot now because I think he's clearly the second best fighter in the world, but he can't have a rematch anytime soon. They don't want to put him up against, you know, real contenders, and because he'll take them out, and then Kane will have nobody.
No, they're saying Kane versus Verdum next.
Yeah,
but I think Kane wins that fight.
I think so too. Yeah, I don't think anybody's beating Kane.
Yeah, Kane's one of those guys. The only way I think Kane loses is if him and Cormier get into a big fight, and Cormier leaves AKA, and they stop training together. Because together, it's like the Rolling Stones. Like Mick Jagger sucked on his own to Keith Richards, but together, when those two train every day, 4 days, you're getting the two best heavyweights. I believe that Cormier is the second best heavyweight.
You think he's better than JDS?
I do. He hasn't lost a round in MMA.
Yeah.
I mean, he has not lost a round to Barnett, Mir, to Roy Nelson,
Would JDS lose a round to any of those guys? I mean, he smashed Roy Nelson worse than, even though they both were
pretty offside. Did JDS lose a round? No, but based on the damage he took from this fight, I don't think he's the same fighter that he's going to be after that. So right now. Mm-hmm. But no, based on I understand your logic. But Cormier, I just think he knocked out Bigfoot in what, one round? I mean, I think, well, so did JDS, right? But... So yeah, they're close.
I'd love to see that fight, but
I think as you've seen, JDS can be exposed with his wrestling. Mm-hmm. Not exposed in like as in like Kimbo exposed, but if there is a hole in JDS's game plan, in his game, it's wrestling.
Yeah.
Because
wrestling, it was just the pressure that Kane put on him too. He's in his face just constantly doing something. JDS had to be so defensive.
Yeah.
Wrestling wins championships, so.
Wrestling does win championship, which is why me and you coach. little kids. We have a really tough 72-pounder, Nick. He wants to play games all the time, but once he realizes that like we're not gonna play games every time, he's gonna be a champ. We have good kids. We have a good group of and it's cool because our kids are like from a charter school, so they all get bussed in from different places, and then the kids that we wrestle are all like, you know, St. Cathedral, or Harvard Westlake, which is $40,000 to go to a year, which is nothing wrong with that if you have that money, send your kid to Harvard Westlake. But it's nice that we have a little bit of a diverse team. We have a, you know, a smorgasbord of wrestlers, which is very nice. So anyway, that is our podcast. Thank you, John Dodson. Thank you to Sarah Morris, and thank you to Sarah Kaufman for coming on the show. I will be in Europe when this comes out. I'm doing a military tour. I'm going to Germany, England, Bosnia, the Amsterdam, and Kosovo, doing comedy for the U.S. military. Can't wait for that. Kurt, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Just check out intravid.com. It's all fighter video blogs. And any fighters that want video blogs made, you know, contact us on Twitter. I'm sure Adam will tweet it out. And, you know, I just want to give a shout out to my business partner, Jeremy Troy. He does everything of this with me, so it's not just me on here.
Okay, so if you're a fighter and you have videos and you're not a good editor and you don't know how to do anything, send them to you.
I'll cut them up
and put them out.
Yep.
I like it. Cool. Well, thank you, Fox Sports, for picking up the podcast and being so cool. And enjoy the rest of the fights and enjoy your week. Take care. Bye.